When we look at our Bibles, it's interesting. I had this study Bible, and I love this study Bible because when you open it up, right before you begin any book of the Bible, it tells you the context. It tells you who's writing it. It tells you who they're writing to. It tells you why they're writing it. And I think that's super important. So I always enjoy that, and then it gives me little things at the bottom that tell me different stuff about what they're writing and the context and the history of what's going on. Oh, this is what's actually happening in the church that he's writing to. And I think that's super important as well, because if we just take certain parts of Scripture and use those certain parts, then they become something other than what they were intended to be. Such as the case is 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of you know 1 Corinthians 13 because you've heard it at weddings. You've heard it in multiple different places. It's become sort of an ode to love. That isn't its original context. You see, right before then, chapter 12, Paul begins to talk about the body of Christ and how each one of those things is different. Each one, you have the fingers, you have the hands, you have the arms, and I preached on this before. The eye can't tell the ear. Oh, I smell just fine. That's the nose that smells. And so each part of the body has different gifts, different talents, different abilities, and when every part is working in unison together, the church is at its best. Each part is important. Each part, it does its part. And that's important to understand, because as we go into this next part, we understand that in 1 Corinthians 13, he's still dealing with the same issues he was dealing with in chapter 12. The abuse of the gifts of tongues specifically, division in the church, envy of other people's gifts, because they would look and be like, well, that guy has that he's preaching, and he has that preaching ability. I don't have that. I wish I did. My gift is just silly. It's not as good. That's another thing, looking at your gift and saying it's not as good. Well, there's another one that came up, and it's selfishness, and he's approaching that as well, like, oh, you're so... Yeah. Impatience with one another in public settings. He's attacking all these different things, and he's saying love needs to be a part of this. He's saying that the only way that spiritual gifts, the only way these gifts, these abilities, these talents can be used properly is when they are motivated by love. Gifts from God are, honestly, they're wonderful, they're amazing, they're exciting. But if they aren't used in love, they become something else entirely. They become annoying, sort of useless. Let me tell you a story. I worked with this young gentleman. He was great with cars. He was a great mechanic. That's the very reason I hired him. He can just get under there and he can do any little job, right? Mike, you have a Subaru, you know where those spark plugs are. They're on the side and there's about that much room to get to them. He would do that and he wouldn't even complain. He would do it in about 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and I would just be sitting there like, oh, wow, that's cool that you did that. Any little job, no matter how tenuous, he would go ahead and do it. I have a Nissan Sentra. You have to remove the entire exhaust. There's so much you have to remove to get it. It's a 3.5 hour job to do 4 spark plugs. He did it in 1.5 hours. See, he's talented. He's good. He's good at what he's doing. But there's a problem, though. And I started to see this problem in him because he was all about himself and how great he was, and he would remind people of it. Look, I can do these spark plugs in 1.5 hours. What's wrong with you? You guys are all not as good as me. I'm the best. I'm number one. You guys are all beneath me. And it became like this divisive thing. It became annoying. He was talking about himself all the time and how good he was without teaching others, without building others up. So even though he's probably one of the best and most knowledgeable workers in the shop, no one wanted to work with him. Not a single person. It was all about him. It wasn't about the team. It was him, me. And if something happened, he would always blame someone else. Oh, the reason I didn't make that was because that guy didn't talk about. Oh, the reason that went wrong and that broke is because that guy. And he'd keep a list of things that you did, just in case he needed to use them against you later. I believe we can all find situations in our life where this is true, and we can find people. Oh yeah, I know someone like that. Where people we had great talents, great abilities, became destructive nuisances because they were all about themselves. Well, today's the Super Bowl's on, isn't it? So I'm thinking about sports. Some may have played sports and had that one ball-hogging show-off that goes on, right? We play basketball sometimes on Wednesday night. I go out there and I play, and when I get out there, I gotta tell you, I'm the best. I'm number one. Not a single person can guard me. Everyone's laughing because they know that's not true. I will accidentally foul you, probably on purpose. Because you're bigger than me, you know? Like you can't just... I was telling Mike this earlier. Like, I'd stand there and I'd be guarding and he runs through me and somehow I fouled him. That's not fair. The rules of basketball, I just make the shot, you know? But we all had those people that just ruin the whole entire experience and atmosphere because they want to take all the shots and they want to do all the things, and we don't need to pass it to you because you're not that good anyway. I could tell you this, we're talking about the Super Bowl, in case you didn't know, the football fans. We're talking about the Super Bowl, that's happening today at 3:30. The reason these two teams are in the Super Bowl is because they work together. The entire team is always working together, building off one another, helping one another get to the next goal. Patrick Mahomes doesn't do it on his own, as great as he is. He can't. He needs a team around him. He doesn't say, hey, wide receiver, throw me the ball. No, that ain't Philadelphia. They only do that in Philadelphia. If you're a football fan, you get that joke. Few years back, the wide receiver threw it to the quarterback and for a touchdown. But they all work together. The reason the Cowboys aren't in the Super Bowl is because they're all talking mess about, oh, it's all his fault. That quarterback didn't throw me the ball, and that's why we lost. I'm the best. If they would just throw me the ball, if they would just block for me better, if they would just do this, if they would just do that. Yeah. There's all this infighting. It's annoying. It's a nuisance. It's drama. Call yourself America's team. The only reason America's watching is because we like drama. So it's pay attention. We can all think of situations where this is true. Ruins the whole team atmosphere. In the church, it's especially true. God has gifted. He's given us talents. He's given us abilities so that we can build each other up. And not one gift is greater than another, and we understand that, and we all work together for the common good. We are equally important to the church and to God's kingdom. And so we have to come to this one point where we have to say spiritual gifts, these spiritual gifts that come from God, no matter how exciting and no matter how wonderful, they all become destructive, they all become divisive, they all become honestly useless when not motivated by love. I use the word administered, let's just plug in motivated. When they're not motivated by love, they're just loud, noisy things. And that's why Paul follows a section about this diversity in the body of Christ, each one of you and your own talents and your own abilities working together with this idea of maturity in the body of Christ. Because the main evidence of maturity in the Christian life is growing love for God and growing love for God's people. Is that we have the body. And here in chapter 13, he talks about the circulatory system of the body, which is love. And so he begins, and I need you to learn this. The first thing I want you to realize is that love enriches your spiritual gifts. It enriches your talents, your abilities. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3 says this, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." And so here Paul's pointing out some spiritual gifts that are particularly for this church in Corinthians. These were their, what he's calling, we can call them sensational gifts. These are the ones they wanted. These are the ones they desired most. And he takes those gifts and he tells them that without love, they're nothing. They're just loud, useless, annoying. No one wants to play with you. Because it's love that enriches the gift and gives it value. See, this ministry without love cheapens the minister and the recipient of the ministry. And when we talk about this ministry, we're not talking about the pastor of the church. You each have a ministry. But if you're not doing it with love, it cheapens it. This is you doing something. But ministry with love enriches the whole church. Everyone's built up by it. Everyone sees it. Everyone's like, oh my gosh. When this person does that, it's so empowering to me. You ever heard those stories like, this person helped me get to here. And that person helped me. If you hear any testimony, there's always a person who helped that person get to a place. There's always people involved. Because they loved. Because they followed it. Ephesians 4:15, we often say this here. "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, into Christ." Speaking the truth in love. We've got to speak the truth. Paul's speaking the truth to the Corinthian church, to the people of Corinth. But he's doing it in a way that's loving. I need you to hear this, but I'm going to say it in a loving manner. Because love enriches it. The second thing I want you to realize is that spiritual gifts, motivated by love, build up the kingdom of God. Now, I know you guys know this. I'm going to say this statement, but I know you guys know this already. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about something much bigger. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. We read it earlier. "Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." Whew. The purpose of these spiritual gifts, these abilities, these talents, is the building up, the teaching, the development of the church. And you might be saying to yourself, I'm not a teacher. Well, I can learn a lot from your life, I'll tell you that. We can learn a lot from each other. Every one of us has a story. Every one of us has a talent or ability that we love, that we know we're good at, that we're just drawn to. I can learn a lot from you. You can learn a lot from me. You see, it's not about the you or the me, it's about us. Building each other up. And so this thing I learned a long time ago is that you're saved, you're sanctified, you're given these gifts, these abilities, and the talents for the sake of others. All of that for the sake of others, so that you can go out and reach someone else. I'm saved, and then I grow in my relationship with God, and I grow in my knowledge of God, and I grow in my maturity in Christ so that I can go out and reach someone else that needs to know about God. So I can encourage someone else. So that if you're having a bad day, I can come alongside and love on you. If you're confused about something, I can come alongside. We can figure it out. Maybe even be confused together, but we'll go through it. And so we don't think about ourselves, we think about others. We think about the greater good. And that demands that we love. We love not ourselves, but we love others. Our love for God goes outward to His people. And so in this context, in the Corinthian church, Paul knew some things. He knew that they were impatient during meetings. And he was like, okay, you're impatient during meetings. Be self-controlled. Be tolerant. How about listen for a change instead of arguing? He knew that they were envious of other people's gifts. He knew he looked across and they were all like, well, he has a great gift and I don't, so I want that great gift. And he says, how about you just like the gift that you're given because you're important? We know that they were prideful of their gifts, some of them. Boasting about what they were doing. It says, forget the pride. Forget about self. Why don't you use your gifts to build other people up? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. Oh, it's not self-seeking either. It keeps no record of wrongs. Have you ever seen those people? I talked about it earlier with the guy that I worked with. Kept his entire record of what we did so that when he got in trouble, he can say, oh, but when you remember that date when you did that thing? You ever been in a conversation with someone that you love and you're trying to help them and they point out everything that you've ever done because they don't want to own their stuff? No, don't keep record of wrong. This isn't check marks on a board of everything they've ever done wrong. That's not love. You've been given these gifts, these abilities for the sake of others. And if we read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 really carefully, compare it to the fruits of the Spirit, you can see all the characteristics kind of showing up there. All the characteristics of the fruits of the Spirit showing up in there. And then we see that love releases that power of the Holy Spirit within us. And it starts to impact everyone around us. You see, imagine for a moment that you were so full of the Holy Spirit and His love and the love of God that it pushed everything else out. There was no room for pride. There was no room for boasting. There was no room for impatience. There was no room for unforgiveness. There was no room for rage or jealousy or envy or anything else. It was just God's love so full. Imagine that for a moment. Being so filled with the Holy Spirit that we are empowered to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And through that empowering, also love others in the same manner that we take care of ourselves. Imagine that in your life. It's never been about you. There's a little bit of time where God spends with you and works on you so that you can go spend time with others and help others. Last thing I want you to realize is that when spiritual gifts are motivated by love, administered in love, the whole body of Christ grows and matures, the entire body of Christ. This is in verse 8 through 13. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. See, he's still mentioning these sensational gifts that they had. Well, these are the ones we desire most. Okay, fine. Where there are prophecies, those will cease. Where there are tongues, they'll be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I become a man, I put away the things of childhood. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall see fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And so here's the little, Paul's speaking the truth. Because he has to speak the truth, but he's doing it in a loving way. He's essentially saying to the Corinthians, you're like children playing with toys, these abilities, these gifts. You're like children playing with toys. You're just going to break them and they're going to disappear. I have a 4-year-old. I can guarantee you I buy toys for him to break. I buy him trains. He throws them in water because he's seen on YouTube this little guy that plays the trains and then they go into the water and then he makes sounds and Elijah laughs. So now he thinks all his electric trains belong in pools. Well, now, Elijah, they don't work no more. You broke it. Well, fix it. No, you threw it in the water. I can't fix it. Maybe it'll air out. Maybe it'll work again later. It's not going to work now. So he takes it a step further and he throws mom's phone into the water. YouTube is evil. These toys they're playing with, they're one day going to break. They're going to disappear. Even kids, the wheel fell off the toy. The toys get old, they break. Or they get lost. He's still looking for his train light. He don't know where he put that. I don't know where he put that. It's one of his favorite toys. It's just a silly light. It just lights up, red light, green light, right? Silly thing. He loves that toy. And he put it somewhere, or took it somewhere. Maybe even left it at a park. I don't know. But Paul essentially says to the Corinthians, you're playing with these things. They're going to one day break or disappear. And that applies to us as adults as well, right? We have talents, we have gifts, we have abilities. I told you I'm number one in basketball, but one day I'll be like 60 and I won't be. I won't be as fast. I won't be as strong. Paul just went 10 hours on his bicycle. You think you're going to do that forever? One day he won't be able to. That's an amazing ability. I can't ride 10 hours on a bicycle. I don't know how you're here this morning. Let's put ice packs all night. One day these gifts, these abilities that you have now will not be there. And he says, children, they think, they understand, they speak like children. But you expect the child to one day mature and start speaking and acting like an adult. He's essentially saying in these meetings, when you're arguing about these certain things, you're kind of reasoning like children. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became a man, I put away the things of childhood. There's a maturing process for the church as a whole. And we got to go through it. Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It's kind of long. We put it on the screen for you. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the whole body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, until we become mature. You see the goal? The whole body, all these gifts, all these things are there so that we can grow and mature together. So that the whole body, not part of the body, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and then the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And he's speaking of the church. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part, see? Ephesians 4, same stuff. We're still talking about the body of Christ. We're still talking about maturing and growing, but not specifically just you, the entire body of Christ. We will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head. You see, as the church, we should be growing and maturing in Christ. We should be moving in a direction where we want more of God, where we want more knowledge of God, where we are so full of everything that we have of God, but we want more. Where we are overflowing and hitting every part of our community, and we still want more. Should be growing and maturing in Christ. Children live for temporary stuff. Adults, they're thinking about permanent. They're thinking about, oh, bigger things, heavenly things. And then there's that last part of the scripture there, yeah? And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And then some people take that last part of there and they go, well, we threw out faith and hope because the greatest of these is love. So the only thing I'm going to concentrate on is love. Whoa. Wait a minute. Pause. Pause. That's like taking a car and saying, all I need is the engine. All right, well, I would suggest that maybe you need the frame of the car and some seats and a steering wheel, and we should maybe put some brakes on it as well, because stopping is important. It doesn't say throw up faith and hope. It says these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But why is love so important? It's because love is enduring. And what it produces will endure. I hope, faith, and love, they go together. But it's love that energizes the other two. You see that? And so in chapter 12, Paul showed that the Corinthians had a lack of love when they utilized their gifts, when they were using their talents and they were using their abilities. They were envious of one another's gifts, and Paul had to remind them that each individual gift was important to the church, that you are important to the church. I don't care if you're the janitor, you're important. From the janitor to the pastor, each one of them was important, is important to the body of Christ. And then in chapter 13, Paul shows us that the lifeblood of the body of Christ is love. It energizes everything. It enriches everything. It enhances each one of us. See, love is more important than all the other gifts exercised because it enriches everything. Great faith, acts of dedication or sacrifice, miracles even, whatever it is, they mean very little if not motivated by love. And people know when things aren't motivated by love. They know when you're being selfish. They might not tell it to you, but they know. And so it seems that love makes every action useful. We all have different gifts, but love is available to each and every one of you. It flows throughout their entire body of Christ. And it energizes each and every one of us. And I can tell you, I know this firsthand experience from you guys. It was like 2021. I was the interim pastor at a church. They didn't want me to be their long-term pastor. There was a lot of different things going on there. And so I was an ordained elder without a church. And then some random guy got a hold of me and said, hey, I feel like I should talk to you for some reason. Okay, cool, let's talk. And so we got on a, because I live in Ontario, he lived in Yucaipa, and we got on a Zoom meeting. That's what you do in 2021. And he says, I have a church that wants to love on you. They don't expect anything from you. We want to serve. We want to minister to you. Okay. And I said yes. And we came here. Because that man was Paul. If you haven't figured it out yet. And you are that church. And for the past 3 years, you have ministered into love on me. And I have grown and I have matured because of that. I am better than I was in 2021, and I hope you're better than what you were in 2021. Because love enriched it. Because you use your gifts, your abilities, and love. And you didn't just do it for me. There's many people's lives you have touched in that manner. So I encourage you to keep doing that. Don't stop. Don't stop when it gets frustrating and you're like, whoa, I wish there was this. I wish there was that. God's got you in this place, in this time, for a particular purpose. So do what it is He has gifted you to do. God has gifted you with a very important gift that you can use within the church right now today. But always remember that you're nothing without the rest of the body. The more we become like Christ, the more love we will show to others. And so continuously pray that God would fill you with His love. And push out everything else. Because it's with that love that we're able to serve each other. That we're able to build each other up. That we're able to encourage one another. That we're able to spur one another on as we all go out. And I pray this morning that you all, us, are built up to the fullness of the maturity of Christ.